from the WEEI studios. 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey Sports Station.
One of the plays of game two, Derek White's block on PJ Washington. Back here for hour number two of the Rich Keefe Show with Andy Hart, WEEI. Also, watching that replay like 1,000 times, do you think PJ Washington was just like waiting for impact? Because the way he was going on, I don't even know if he would have dunked it.
No.
He was gonna,
I think the rim was blocking that.
I think the rim was going to block it. Like, he either took off to...
I think he was scared to death.
Yeah, he knew he was going to get contact, and the way he took off, he was probably also bracing for his landing. But I'm like, even if those guys didn't, like, because he almost got, like, double blocked, but the rim blocked it too. Like, it was a weird play.
Tatum had one of those actually at one point where he went up down the right side for a dunk that I don't think he ever got above the rim, and he was still thinking dunk. And I'm like, physics says this is not possible.
It's like me in high school, like, here I go. Like, you're not going up there.
That's not happening.
it's not happening. Famously, I tried dunking in a game, and my coach said, "Have you done that before?" I was like, "Well," he's like, "maybe do it in practice a little bit before you do that."
Wait, you tried to dunk in a game having not dunked previously?
I've had two dunks in my life. Neither were in a basketball game. They were both in practice, but this was prior to that, but I was close. And so I went up on a breakaway and I tried to dunk. And thankfully it wasn't like the ball hits rim like and I get stuffed. Like, the ball went over the rim and it just like went, it like shot out the other side. But I was like, yeah, it's worth a shot. Try to get the crowd going a little bit. They're like, what the hell was that? What are you doing?
You're lucky you didn't, you know, sometimes you see somebody like hits the rim and then they like fall back.
Fall back? No. It didn't happen that way. So I clearly got just high enough where it was like, I didn't block myself. I just missed, which is a shame. You can join the show here at 617-779-7937. You can also watch the show on Twitch. And I really encourage you to do so normally. But tonight, Hart's at home and you got to... You got his dog tonight. His dog is chilling.
Yeah, Bo Hart in the house.
Bo Hart is back there having a nice little snooze right now. Yeah, he's wiped. He must have had a day and a half. Look at this guy. He is snoozing. No, but during the break, he was up. You could see he was.
Oh, yeah. He was active.
He was excited.
He's a smart dog. You know how I know?
How's that?
So I came to get set up and I realized, the computer's not on the desk that I need to do this. So we went downstairs, got it where it was on the couch. I picked it up. He immediately sees the laptop and sprints up the stairs like, oh, this means office time. I'm going to lay in bed in the office.
Oh, I love that.
Smart dog.
That is good stuff. All right, very good.
He had a tough first boat ride of the summer the other day. We took him out to the sandbar.
Hell yeah. How'd you like it?
And this ties into the Rich Keefe story.
Sure.
So my wife is still in the boat. A little foggy. She didn't really get out. I got out on the sandbar, ran around with him. So she's like, all right, Bo, time to go. And like Rich Keefe trying to dunk, he ran, jumped.
Oh, no, he got stuffed.
Front paws made it over the side of the boat. Chest hit the side of the boat. He bounced off,
literally
landed on his back in the water, completely submerged, came up like,
no,
what in the hell just happened there?
He's ruined his summer. He might not want to go out there again.
With full confidence, thought he was jumping in the boat, and it wasn't really close.
No, that is a shame. So get well soon, Bo.
Sore through the chest region.
All right, let's go back to the phones right now. We have Brandon in Boston. He will start this hour off. What do you got, Brandon?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my phone call.
No problem.
I can be really quick. So, you know, when it comes to this MVP talk, I don't even want to give it to a player. I don't know if they could do this or not, but my MVP would be Brad Stevens, just because all the work that he put in, you know, the genius trades that he made, you know, and he has this team really going. So that would be my MVP. You know,
real quick, Brandon. Real quick, Brandon. We brought you up the other night on the show because I remember before the season began, you were a big "this team isn't deep enough" guy. Do you still feel that way?
Looking at the series, you know, they are sort of deep, you know what I mean? But after the season, you know, so,
all right.
After the season, Brad Stevens has to keep this thing going.
Sure.
Now, for me, Peyton Pritchard and Hauser are not coming back to this team.
Why not?
You know what I mean? They're not coming back.
Why?
So you have to trade them.
Why?
Get some other guys
why?
In here.
Why? Why do you have to get rid of them?
Why? Because basically what I would do What? Like, I love Peyton Pritchard.
No, apparently you don't.
I
mean, you're trading him.
His size.
Why? The team is a wagon, Brandon. What are you talking about? Why wouldn't you bring every single guy back?
Not consistent.
Oh, my God.
Consistent.
Brandon.
So those two guys are not coming back.
Yes, they are.
You got to get some guys that – I'm telling you, bro.
Oh, you're out of your mind. You're still talking about the depth. It's insane. They're two wins away from the title. They've lost two playoff games this whole time. They are fine. What do you need an eighth, ninth, tenth guy for?
The Mavs suck.
All right, every team they've played sucked then.
This is why, because Kyrie and Luka have to go, like I said.
It's the NBA Finals. It's the NBA Finals. This is who they're playing against.
The rest of the players are role players, bro. The players that they have on their team don't even start on real NBA teams.
Brandon, guess what? It's not the Celtics' fault that's who they're playing. So, okay, bro, if they trade Peyton Pritchard and Sam Hauser, maybe they'll win the title next year, bro. How's that sound?
No, I'm just saying to beef up the bench.
No, just say you were wrong about the bench thing, Brandon. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to say.
Well, maybe I think they needed more additions, but okay, if you think of that, I was wrong.
Brandon. I know you were wrong about it. We screamed about it for like four consecutive weeks. He would call in with the same lame-ass take. Brad Stevens got to trade for somebody. Brad Stevens has to do something here. They got nobody. Look at who's their seventh guy. They're a wagon. They never lose this team. And he's like, they got to trade Pritchard and Hauser?
Plus, if he made those calls and Brad Stevens didn't do those things, now he wants to give Brad Stevens the MVP award in the finals?
Nah, the P stands for player, so yeah. He's never going to get
it. Executive of the year, Jason Tatum.
Although I did hear Bob Myers saying that he would...
like him.
You like Bob Myers?
Yeah.
That is a rough pre, post, and halftime show, and everybody was all over it. It stinks. So Bob Myers, former GM, he's doing fine. He was the one, he's hyping up Brad Stevens, and I get his overall point. He's like, this is... You know, because Tatum isn't dominating, and yet the team is still dominating, you're like, well, how are they doing that? It's like, oh, because they're great. And despite what Brandon says, they have great depth. This is a deep team.
Yeah.
But I also love on that panel, I don't know if you caught this, awful announcing was all over it. So the panel is Malika Andrews, whatever, just, you know, host. Bob Myers, the GM perspective. They had Josh Hart. I don't know why. I would love to know how many players said no before they landed on Josh Hart.
Yeah.
And then
I love Hart's on TV.
I know you do, but Josh Hart.
I'm a TV guy myself.
Yes, you are.
Well, I was.
What happened? They gave you the boot?
Well, no, I gave them the boot and they haven't called me back after he got the boot.
Scorned lover right there. Yeah. But Josh Hart is a rough watch. And then they have Michael Wilbon, who's, you know, he's done his show with Tony Kornheiser for years. I don't know if the pre and post game is his thing at all. No. This is my favorite, though. They were talking about who can step up besides Luka and Kyrie for the Mavericks. Here was Michael Wilbon's answer.
Let me just say this. Dallas needs somebody else. Luka can't be himself physically. Not the way this game is starting. I'm going to nominate somebody. Tim Hardaway Jr.
Didn't play in the game. Did not step on the court. Coach's decision. It was not an injury-related thing, and they were even showing him on the broadcast, and he went on to say, like, he's a veteran player, like, all this stuff. Didn't play. The guy I think is going to step up is Tim Hardaway Jr.
Hey, we're all wrong sometimes. Just say, you know, I screwed up.
Yeah, but it's a tough
coach. Took Emeka Okafor.
What do you want from me? Sorry, I didn't take Ryan Gomes. I took two studs instead. All right, let's go to Joe in the car. He's up next talking Celtics. What do you got, Joe?
What's up, guys? Yeah, that guy's an idiot. I don't know what that's true about. He was worried about Hauser in the playoffs. You know, he needs to be hotter. I think that's the same guy that was worried about Hauser.
Probably.
He needs to have a good series. So I don't know what that guy's talking about. But, you guys, the reason why I love you guys is because, and especially you, man, you come on and you're really honest regardless who the player is, you know. Unfortunately, like some guys, I'm not going to mention any names, man, about, I don't know what 50? This guy has about Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum, to me, has he had a signature game? I mean, the guy's played, I think, what, 15 games now?
Yeah,
has he had one game?
Bucks, Heat,
what
Sixers.
What was that, Rich?
I don't know, the 76ers the Heat game, the Bucks
this
game?
Postseason, this year.
Oh, I don't know. No, this year? No, he doesn't need one. I thought you were talking about his career. He's definitely had some good ones in his career.
I'm not asking about the Rich, thinking about this year's
playoff. Your phone's
playoff,
rough. Okay, go ahead. All right, so, it's cost them big time.
Has he had?
That's not what he said. Don't do that. That's not what he said.
That's all I'm saying.
He didn't say it cost him.
Has he had a monster game? Probably not. No. Really. No.
Just say it, Rich. No, he has not. Just
who's
no,
had mon- not. Who's you're, had monster another, games for him?
Are you another Jason Tatum lover?
Who's
like,
had
like,
monster
like,
games? Okay. What happened?
Wait, did Drew Holiday not have a monster game last night?
Okay, go ahead. Call it.
Did Porzingis not have a monster game in game one?
In a monster half. Yeah.
Good
Lord. Oh, my God, Richie. You know what? You're sounding like Wiggins. You're sounding like Wiggins more and more.
Okay.
Wiggins says today that he
let's boil this down then. I don't care what Wiggy said. Boil it down. What's your point?
Well,
what's
you
your
asked
point?
Me a question. You asked me a question.
Oh, yeah, my question is, what's your point?
I'm giving it to you. Andy just gave you. Horses had a monster.
What's your point? What's your point?
My point is, Jason Tatum is not even shouldn't even be considered to MVP. When you guys just said that he was had four votes over five, and Brown has five for the Eastern Conference Final, it just blows my mind that Jason Tatum is not the guy. Can we just all when it comes to the playoffs? Can we just say that Jason Tatum is not? He's not even the fourth best player on this team in these playoffs. He's not.
He averaged 30, 10, and 5 in the conference finals, and he's not the fourth best player. You're going to talk about points. You're going to talk about rebounds. You're going to talk about assists. Oh, my God. Not
you
stats.
You watch the games?
Me? No. What are they on?
Because if you
Tubi.
Think his
Tubi,
games,
I love no. If they're on Tubi, I would be watching them.
Is that a porn site?
Tubi? No, it's just free streaming, free good streaming porn? On Tubi. No, it's not porn.
Tubi sounds like porn.
Listen, Jason Tatum is not having a great shooting series by a long stretch. I get that
postseason,
but now he's
postseason. Forget the series. Whoa, postseason. He hasn't shot well in this postseason.
You're right. He has not shot well in the postseason, but
so
now
you just tried to gloss over it. It's what you people do.
Okay. But now he is the fourth best player on the team.
I didn't say that. That was the coach.
No, I know. That's like, come crazy. On. Like, we don't have to go
call,
crazy.
Though. Good call. These are my people.
Porzingis pops off and like, great. That was great. You want Porzingis over Tatum?
Did anybody say that though?
Nobody. That caller did. Nope. He's got him fourth on the team. I would assume he's one of the guys over him.
I don't even know if Porzingis is still on the team. He might be on
IR. Dude, that did not look good. He was gingerly going up and down the court.
He's one of those guys, when things start going in weird directions, like that play where he landed, I don't even know what's hurt. Like, it's like you're looking at
all of it.
It all looks like it could be hurt.
It's like upper body, lower body, mid.
Yes.
No, listen, I wouldn't say I'm necessarily a Jason Tatum guy. I just think that when you get people that are just like, well, what does he even do? When has he ever had a big game? And like all this other stuff. It's like, I don't know. He's still the best player on the team, and he hasn't had a great couple of games. But the team is built so well that he hasn't really had to.
Right,
and they're going to win the title.
Really good talent.
Yeah,
that's carried his ass.
Yeah. Well, at times, but don't you think he gets quite a bit of attention, and those guys benefit from that?
Oh sure. But it's not what other people. People were clapping back at me a little bit on Twitter. I didn't fight. Just
yeah, right.
Beef. But one guy, he showed like a Tatum drive to the right side, kind of the baseline. There, you know, he had his primary defender, then sort of a big doubled, and behind the big, there was a late sort of rotation. Drew Holiday cuts, and Tatum hits him for a layup. And I'm like, and they're like, see? And I'm like,
well, no.
See what? A pass that any basketball player on any high school court in America would have made?
Yeah, like, no, that doesn't.
He
that
knows
doesn't
how to
count.
Play basketball. I agree with that.
Yeah.
He needs to shoot better. That's part of his job.
100%.
Say, oh, my ego and my blah, blah. No. If your ego was not involved,
make open threes.
You'd shoot less.
Make open
if
threes.
If you're shooting shots, you expect to make some of them.
Yeah. How about half? How about even half?
Yeah. And more than one three.
I mean, not half your threes, but like half your overall shots. I don't think is crazy. Or 45% of your shots.
And he's had some cheap statistics, in my opinion. I remember watching the totality, and I know when it's happening because you know I have a little thing, Tatum Brown.
You do. You definitely do.
I definitely do, and I admit that.
Okay.
And I see him scoring like some kind of cheap points or having cheap play that I'm like, this makes his numbers look better, and he didn't
play all that well
for three quarters.
All the stats you can kind of chase a little bit. Right.
So I look at my guy all the time. Yeah. There's a hell of a lot of Jaylen Brown, either like plus twos or minus threes in wins. And you're he played better than that.
No,
he played better than that stupid number in that stupid column right there.
Well, the plus minus number is definitely benefited Tatum so far, too, even though he hasn't shot well. Like when he's on the court, the team is winning. Like they are definitely a better team with him on the court than not.
That is starting to bother me.
Plus minus.
Yeah. And I don't know.
I mean, if it's a big swing either way, like, I think it's hard to ignore. But I'm with you. It's not something
it is. It's just, I don't know. And I don't know what I don't like about it. It's just, it's like I said.
Isn't
and again,
it kind of telling, though? Like,
I feel old school. This is the old school Andy, yeah. The anti-PFF Andy. There, and you watch, and I'll watch a Tatum game,
yeah.
And I'm like, he didn't really play all that well.
Right.
And he finishes with, like, 27-9-8 at a plus 17. And I'm like,
yeah.
He wasn't that good. And then I'll look at Jaylen Brown or somebody else. Let's just use Jaylen Brown.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, right.
And it'll be like, he had 24 points. He shot efficiently, but he was a minus 6. And I'm like, he yeah. played a key role in them winning that game. And that number says he didn't. He was a losing player. And
well,
I hate that.
In the world of comparisons, too, we were talking about, you know, before the series began, how there are certain guys that you look at. You're like James Harden, Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony, like whatever, like great, great players that have never won, and in fact, people sort of like scoff at them a little bit, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, of course, like they have great numbers, they have a million all-star appearances, but they're not going to win. And then you have like the other extreme, guys like Tim Duncan and Kobe Bryant and LeBron, who have won a ton of titles and were the main reason why those teams all won those titles. And maybe Tatum at this stage of his career is kind of in between that, right? Like maybe Tatum is the guy that his team is still going to win, right? So move him ahead of Carmelo and Harden and those guys, but he's not the sole reason why they're winning, right? Like he's not going to be the shoe-in finals MVP.
And I also, to tie this into Wednesday night Gillette Stadium, 6-12-24, Tom Brady.
That's right.
I do think we are still in this, it's not the same sport, but Brady hangs over everybody. If you're great in Boston, playing great and great, winning a lot, like stepping up to the moment. The things that Brady did kind of hang over everybody that's supposed to be a great player. Or Ortiz, same thing. We're coming off a generation of not only were great
multiple
players great
winners.
Statistically,
yeah.
They like made the key play. They had that Derek Jeter clutch factor.
Yep.
And that's Tatum's going to win a title this year and not get that monkey off his back.
Well, and what's crazy to me is if he wins this, they win two more games, and you could probably make the case now, but you can definitely make it in two more games. He's already a better Celtic than Paul Pierce. And, like, I love Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce is one of my favorite athletes of all time, but he's not all NBA first team three consecutive years, right? Like, and I know Paul Pierce was the finals MVP, but many would argue like, well, Kevin Garnett was the best player. So like there's still a debate about the 08 team,
mm-hmm.
but as great as he was, and I know he wasn't on as many great teams, but he still won the one title and he was not regarded in the league like the way Tatum has been. And Tatum, we assume, still has a bunch of years left.
And he had a running mate. Like it's not like he was by himself. He had Antoine.
He did have Antoine for a little bit, and they, I think, got the most out of it, making those conference finals when they did. But they, you know, 09, Garnett gets hurt. That's frustrating. And then not winning in 10 is kind of the big kind of shot at those guys. But
yeah, the fact that they only have one title is still
frustrating.
Yeah.
You can join us, 617-779-7937. Lots to weigh in on Jason Tatum. How you feel about Tatum thus far in the series? I also want to get to Caitlin Clark being left off the U.S. Women's Olympic team.
Ooh,
so, yeah. We'll talk about Tatum. We'll talk about Clark with you guys coming up next year on the Rich Keefe Show with Andy Hart. But right now, here is Stiz with What's Trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
All right, let's get you caught up with what's trending right now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Trending now is brought to you by the Prudential Center Garage. The Celtics, now only two games away from becoming NBA champions and raising banner number 18 after they beat the Mavs last night at the Garden, 105-98. Jrue Holiday led the Celtics in scoring with 26 points. Jason Tatum, one rebound short of a triple-double, 18 points, 12 assists, 9 rebounds. Luka Doncic had a game-high 32 points to lead Dallas and finish with 11 assists and 11 rebounds for a triple-double himself. Series will now head to Dallas for the next two games, the first of which will be Wednesday night tip-off at 8:30 p.m. Here's a little bit of Kristaps Porzingis speaking about how he's feeling after game two.
I feel good, feeling good. Yeah, I don't think it's anything serious. But we'll look at it tomorrow and go from there, but all good. I'll be good.
Were you nervous when it happened? Were you a little scared?
No, I kept playing. play. You know, some bumps and bruises happened throughout the game, but I'll be good.
The Red Sox had the night off tonight. They're back at it tomorrow night when they will host the Phillies for a two-game series at Fenway Park. First game tomorrow night, first pitch at 7:10 p.m. Cutter Crawford expected to take the mound for your Boston Red Sox. Rich Keefe will get you ready for the game starting at 6:10 with the Mass Mutual pregame show. Don't forget, you can catch the pregame as well as the game right here on WEEI or download the Odyssey app, and you can take us wherever you go. Headed to Fenway for the game. Park in Prudential Center's garage for just $25 for night and weekend games. Located in the heart of Back Bay, shop, dine, and discover all Prudential Center has to offer, including the View Boston Observatory. Just a short walk over to the Fenway, over to Fenway Park from the Pru. Stiz, that's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Rich Keefe shows coming up.
Remember, you can listen to WEEI on your smart speaker.
Just say, play 93.7 WEEI.
Now, more of the Rich Keefe Show on WEEI.
Back here on the Rich Keefe Show with Andy Hart, WEEI split squad doubleheader tonight. Andy Hart is in till 8, and then Fitzy will be in from 8 to 10. If you miss any of the show, check out the Rich Keefe Show podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. While you're there, check out Six Rings and Football Things and hashtag Dork as well. Before we get back to the Celtics and Jason Tatum discussion, over the weekend we found out that Caitlin Clark will not be on Team USA for the upcoming Summer Olympics. You know I'm pumped about the Olympics, Hart. I never miss a moment.
Big Olympics guy.
Although slightly less pumped about it. And it's funny, I brought this up. I forget if it was to you or to Fitzy. A week or so ago, I was reading some random article that was saying how Caitlin Clark is not a lock to make the team. And we're both like, how stupid would that be? Well, turns out she did not make the team. And it's one of the dumbest decisions in the history of picking teams. Like Isaiah Thomas not making the 92 Dream Team or Charles Barkley not making the 84 Olympic team. Like, don't compare at all to Caitlin Clark, the most famous woman player in the women's player in the world, not making Team USA. It's insane.
And with the, you bring up that dream team that had Christian Laettner.
Yep.
Right? Like that was a
sort of a tip of the cap to the college guys.
College, yeah. Like, oh, he's an all time college great. I know the timeline's a little different here because she's now a pro because they rush things so quickly.
Oh, my God. It's a quick turnaround.
Madness to the WNBA. Yeah. But, and the other thing is here, she, I know there's sort of this debate. It's sort of Tatum-esque. Like, is she playing well? Is she playing terribly? She's turning the ball over a buttload.
She just had another 30-point game. Yeah. They say she's the most multi 30-point games as a rookie. Her and Candace Parker, who's also regarded as one of the greatest women's players of all time.
She is pumping out the SID statistics in terms of how she plays the game and like fastest to 150 points, 50 rebounds, 50 assists, 50 steals, like all these various like breadth of her game and the way she's contributing. I don't understand it. And there's even statistical comparisons to some of the people that did make it, the veteran people.
Oh, yeah.
And it also gets into jealousies and hates and petty.
Well, so to me, it's like
treated.
If you want to tell me she's not one of the 12 best American players right now, you're probably right. But that's not even the point. The point is, she should be on the team because it's the freaking Olympics. You want eyeballs on it. You want to showcase the sport, the team, the whole thing. So,
and it used to be for college for the
it
men.
Was
I don't
for
know
college.
What the women did. I don't know what the women did. Did the women used to be all college players?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Well, there wasn't the WNBA for a while. Whatever.
No, there wasn't.
But the whole point is they used to even force amateurs. And
well, that's
force
what it was up until
players.
until the Dream Team. But I think for this the Dream Team. So right now in the NBA, and I don't think this is a bridge too far, right now in the NBA, four of the five best players in the world are not American players. And I think it's because of the 92 Dream Team. And so many guys like Pau Gasol, Marc Gasol, Ricky Rubio, they all talked about it because that was in Barcelona. Yep. They saw the Dream Team. They were like, holy smokes. And there was a basketball boom. Next thing you know, you get like Dirk Nowitzki and all these guys from all over the world playing basketball, and it really was because of that 92 team. You know, Vince Carter went to Canada, and there's this whole like Canadian boom that happened, like Andrew Wiggins, probably Gilgeous Alexander, they all took off from that. So if you are trying to promote the WNBA and just women's basketball in general, how you don't select Caitlin Clark to the team is insane, and it's holding the sport back. Like, it is one of the worst decisions ever made. You don't have to play her 40 minutes. You don't have to showcase her the whole time. Put her on the roster. They're going to win every game in a rout anyway, because women's basketball hasn't taken off like men's basketball has. There's not, like, an influx of European players in the WNBA. But if you did this, honestly, it could happen. And right. Why not do it? It's just like the NHL, they had a back and forth a little bit, and then they were finally like, you know what? Stopping our season and sending the guys to the Olympics is great for us. There was always like a big boom for the NHL afterwards because everybody was watching the countries play and they're like, oh, I know that guy. Same thing here. More you'd continue the momentum that you got from the NCAA tournament and draft night and the first few weeks of the WNBA season if you brought her to the Olympics. And they're like, nope, we're not going to do that. So dumb.
Especially for a women's game that I know there's a lot of debate around in these day and age about like, men who don't know anything about women's basketball probably shouldn't be talking about it on TV and the radio. Okay,
I'm talking
whatever.
About it.
Me too. And when I see women's college basketball and women's professional basketball, there are not enough great women. That's just the reality in my mind. Like, there's a reason why UConn can go to 17 billion straight Elite Eight.
Oh, there
Final
used to
Four,
be
like,
zero
only a certain
parity.
Number of women.
Now, the top seeds would win every single round for a long time. Right. This year was kind of refreshing. You look at it, it wasn't just 4-1 seeds in the Final Four. Yeah.
But if you want to, and the WNBA just announced expansion to 3 new cities, I believe.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they're expanding.
And so
this
now
would be the
you're
perfect
watering
time.
Down your roster. You need more great players. You need to excitement needs to be injected, continue to be injected, mm-hmm. but also more talent. More, we can bring talent from Europe or Africa or wherever. What's her name? The girl from South Carolina. Yeah, that was
Cardoza? Second or third
she
pick in the draft, right?
Brazil, I think.
Yeah, I might be right.
Because, by the way, you know what I've been watching a little bit of?
What's that?
The Caitlin Clark documentary thing that has Cardoza, has Caitlin Clark, and like followed them all year round.
There you go.
And it's working on me. So, not an Olympic guy like you.
Yeah.
Guess what? I would have watched more if she were there. Because I have... Now, I'm starting to wonder if she's kind of a douche.
Caitlin Clark?
Yeah, all Maybe. The pushback, yeah. all the way. You know, I'm starting to wonder if there's some douchiness to her that some people don't like her.
But too bad. Like, put her on the team.
No,
maybe,
I know, but
maybe
that might answer some questions.
Oh, yeah, it's possible. I also think, though, that the other players just can completely benefit from it. I mean, I know Angel Reese is like, oh, Caitlin Clark's famous because of me. I would argue maybe the other way around. But even this whole run, like, I know Paige Beckers is this great player, and diehard women's fans were very well aware of Paige Beckers a few years ago.
Me.
Yeah, you were. But then when they played each other this year in, what was it, the Final Four, that got more eyeballs on it, and now I'm sure people left that game being like, no, she's my favorite player. And the same thing would happen here in the Olympics. Even if she barely played, but you knew she was on the team, you would leave it on the TV a little bit longer, and then maybe you'd be like, oh, Kelsey Plum? Like, now I'm going to follow this team, or whoever the player might be. You're more likely to continue with the WNBA if Caitlin Clark's on the team, and you would think that's what they want.
ESPN was having double headers with Caitlin Clark in another game, and it's like, so now you're growing it. So now...
Yeah.
Yeah, you know Caitlin Clark is popular and grandmas and everybody know her. But if you branch out,
it could take it off. Yeah.
Now all of a sudden I know who this person is or Juju or somebody else and I like them or I don't like them, which is all part of it, by the way.
Yes.
The not being liked, and I think Angel Reese has embraced some of that, like the reality of I'm just going to be the villain.
I would have put her on the team too and just been like, here now. So now you have opening night ceremonies or whatever. And then they zoom in and there's Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese walking together in the Team USA stuff. And you're like, holy crap. Now we're all on the same team. It was like when Jordan Bird and Magic were all on the same team.
And like, this is where I don't know enough.
It's never stopped you before.
Yeah. I learned that from Wiggy. When you're about to say something, if you tell everybody you don't know what you're talking about.
It's never actually stopped him, though.
Right.
Yeah.
How good is the international talent?
I think it's poor. I'm pretty sure it's poor.
We're better. We're just better, correct?
I think they're going to win every game by 30 or more points. I'm pretty sure.
With or without Caitlin Clark.
Yes.
So you can't argue, well, she's really not the 12th best player. If we put her on the roster, we could lose. No. You're not going to lose.
No, she's not taking up a valuable roster.
You may not win because she's on it, but you will not lose because she's on your roster. And there is value to it for everyone involved. And I don't know who made it because she didn't, but is that person, would it have sucked to have been that one person? Yes, probably if you left somebody off that could have made it, but she should be on it for basketball. She's, again, I don't think she's as raw and unproven a pro player as some people are making it out to be, but even if she is,
yeah,
all the other things she brings to it are valuable.
You know, it's also a weird thing. They, 3-on-3 basketball is in the Olympics. It debuted in 2020. Kelsey Plum, who was married to Darren Waller and is on the real Olympic team now, she actually played on the 3-on-3 team.
She killed him. I saw the music video. He was dying on the beach and then he
drove. Yeah, he had a tough go of it there. But I really think, and I don't think they're going to do this because I think basically like you commit to one or the other and then you either make the team or you don't make the team. But can you imagine if they sent Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and like any other player to participate in the 3-on-3? How many more people would watch the 3-on-3 than the 5-on-5?
Yeah. I mean, but I know people don't want to believe. I was watching, you brought him up earlier, Michael Wilbon, and it was like, the point is to win the games. You're going to win the games. It's not.
Oh, my God. They're for sure going to win the games.
But if you can accomplish both, if you can win the games and market your game and grow your game, that is a rising tide that will lift all boats, and I don't know why anybody would push back against that.
Yeah, I'm not really sure either. All right, add Caitlin Clark being left off Team USA to the mix here tonight. I know a lot of you want to talk Celtics and Jason Tatum as the team is now 2 wins away from a title. Let's go back to the horn. We got Nick in the car. He joins us next. What do you got, Nick?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, I'll just preface. I started with Celtics in 6, and I'm going to stick with that. I'm tempted to go lower, but I don't see any way Kyrie can keep missing the open shots. But as far as MVP, and this is a hot take. I recognize this is a hot take.
All
but
right.
A few minutes into game one, I just had this little gut feeling saying, you know, wouldn't it be crazy if the Celtics win the series and Luka Doncic gets the finals MVP? Now, I agree completely that the Celtics, I don't understand how Brandon or anyone can argue that the Celtics are anything but the best depth team in the league, let alone in this series.
Right.
But you look at Luka, he's had a 30-point double-double and a 30-point triple-double in 2 games, 2 losses, and I don't think he was even at his best. I think he might have another gear. So I don't even necessarily want this to happen. I just have this gut feeling that, like, wouldn't that be wild if Luka just snags. It would have to go 6 or 7. There's no
way.
We clean up in Dallas. There's no shot. But if they make a series out of this, he might be the best player on the court. I don't know.
I think, you know what, Nick? He's probably the best player on the court regardless. He is the best player on the court. He's either the best player in the world, it's him or Jokic, right? So now we talked about this before the season series started. The finals MVP has gone to a loser once. It was Jerry West the first year they ever gave out the award. So, like, for so many years, that's why they call it the Bill Russell Award now. Bill Russell would have won a zillion of these, but they didn't even give it out then. The first time they did it, Lakers lose, they give it to Jerry West. Every single year since, it has gone to a guy on the winning team. I remember one of the years that the Warriors, I think it was the Warriors beat the Cavs. Actually, you know what? It might have been, was it the year that Andre Iguodala won it? Because Steph Curry didn't have a good shooting series. And there was some talk that LeBron could win it because LeBron really did put up good numbers, and he didn't. Like, they still gave it to Iguodala. So to answer the caller's question, I think, what do you think? If it goes 6 or 7 and the Celtics players kind of trade who has a good game, who has a bad game, and Luka plays really well the whole time? Yeah, still
no. No. I think the Celtics players will, like, a low number of votes might win it because maybe 3 or 4 Celtics. I don't even know how the voting works. I don't know what the total number of votes is, but
well, it was 9 in the conference
finals.
Is that
what it is again?
Yeah, good question. I don't know.
But even then,
and Doris Burke has already voted for Tatum.
Of course.
So there's only 8 votes up for grabs now.
Yes. But no, I think maybe 3, you know, 4-3-2 or something could happen.
Yeah.
But no, I don't. In this day and age, I don't see any way. I mean, I guess, because these people.
Oh, Stiz is telling me this just into the news desk. 11 voters.
Okay.
Right.
Why do we add 2 voters?
I don't know. The higher stakes, maybe.
That's weird.
Is it me and you, Stiz? Do we get the extra 2 votes? That'd be pretty good.
I think
I'm
going to
say it's 5-4-2.
Yeah. What?
For Drew Holiday.
Drew Holiday.
No, I think it's wide open. I think the award is yet to be won.
Oh, it is.
You have 2 games left at the very minimum.
It is definitely wide open.
I'm like the caller. I went Celtics in 6. I am lowering it. I don't think there's any way this goes more than five games. I still leave out the possibility of what is that, a gentleman's sweep?
Yeah, but, you let them win one on their home court, and you come back and you win on your home court.
Good juice on the Drew MVP, too. Plus, it wasn't 12,000.
I was going to say, not nearly the juice it was. Yeah. So Tatum, I know a lot of people don't like Tatum right now. People are fired up at Tatum. He is
No. Stop that.
Dude, what are you talking
about? Doesn't like him.
The text line's mad. You're not here tonight to see the text line. They're mad.
So they don't
that
like
one,
him?
That one caller said he was like the fourth or fifth best player on the team.
That doesn't mean he doesn't like
him. Oh, they don't like his talents. I mean, they don't think he's as good
as... They don't like his performance. His performance is leaving something to be desired.
What if I told you, throughout the playoffs, he leads the team in points, rebounds and assists?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
So go sign up, go renew your subscription to PFF and all the other dork websites.
Do I have to pay for these? Oh, yeah, I forgot how dorky the points, rebounds, and assist stats were. It's not like I'm coming at you with, like,
watch
Vorp and, like, court.
Watch the games,
I try
Richard.
To.
Watch the games.
I try to watch them when I can. You know, sometimes
you're
busy.
You get radio shows, you get pregame sock shows, you get kids.
If it behooves Tatum to play more team ball, I'm not mad at him.
Is that what we call it when you just miss shots? Team ball? What are you, allowing people
he
to get rebounds?
He could be shooting better, but I like the fact that he's not concerned about being a leading scorer every night.
And they have,
why does he shoot more than anybody?
Well, he took a few layups there. He had some chances to do it. Well, he's on the court a lot. He
shot more than anybody, and somehow he's being given, like, oh my God, he's just passing the buck.
How many of these bad performances have cost them?
They haven't.
Okay.
Luckily, he's got great teammates around him, all worthy of MVP consideration.
So speaking of, the odds, the updated odds right now, Jason Tatum is the favorite at plus 125. Jaylen Brown is plus 175, so real close. Luka Doncic is plus 600. Drew Holiday is plus 750. Everybody else is a long, long shot. Porzingis plus 4,000. Derek White 5,000. Kyrie 10,000. PJ Washington 100,000. Probably needed that dunk to go down, PJ, if you wanted to get that.
That was bad. That's why he was running so hard.
That's true. All right, we'll get back to your phone calls. Also, minicamp. Kicked off at Gillette. Andy Hart was there, so we'll get his takeaways from day one of Patriots minicamp coming up next here on WEEI.
If you missed any of our Patriots Monday and Friday interviews, go back and listen on the podcast anytime. Just subscribe to The Rich Keefe Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Now, more of The Rich Keefe Show
on WEEI.
Back here on the Rich Keefe Show with Andy Hart, WEEI. Final few minutes for Andy Hart, and then Fitzy's going to jump in as we take you up until 10 o'clock on this full Tang Monday night right after Game 2 of the NBA Finals. We'll have much more on the Celtics and Caitlin Clark being left off Team USA, but it was also a very busy time all of a sudden, Hart. Minicamp underway for the New England Patriots. You were down there. The Gerard Mayo era has begun. What jumped out to you from today?
I'm trying to stay positive.
Okay.
It's not the same positive with the Boston Celtics, where you're like, wow, this team's so deep and so talented, and it might be a dynasty.
No, a little bit more grading on a curve.
It's more of a forced positivity for me.
Yep.
You know, I've started to really feel bad for Bailey Zappi. He is the oddest of odd man out.
So that's something that maybe people have missed. So, like, when they first were doing the other practice sessions that they were doing, he was getting the second reps, right?
Yeah.
And now it goes
today,
Jacoby Brissett, Drake May.
It's Brissett and May. Today, they were doing a two-minute drill. So Brissett went, May went. Zappi came in, threw one pass to Kyle Duggar, who returned it for a touchdown.
Defensive player?
Yep. And he was immediately removed, and Joe Milton took over.
Oh,
and
no.
He got that one rep. Then there was another throw later. It was Tim Tebow-esque. I think Bailey Zappi has just sort of resigned himself to the reality of the situation.
He put on a brave face. He was saying all the right things. He was saying competition. He was told. Oh, you don't think so?
I was told I'm competing for the job.
Yeah, okay.
I thought that was a very clear.
Okay.
He doesn't really believe it. I was told. Yeah. I've been told I'm competing for the job.
Well, it's sort of a double whammy if you're Bailey Zappi, because if you're putting his shoes for a second, they sign a veteran quarterback who has started more games than you, and they pay him more money than you, and they take a kid at number three overall. So you don't have to beat one of them out in reality. You have to beat both of them out. And it's just, I didn't think it was going to happen. And now with Joe Milton also being added to the team, Bailey Zappe could be the backup, but he also could be cut. He might just not even be on the roster.
I mean, Alex Van Pelt has said Jacoby Brissett is the starter.
Yep.
He has also expressed a lot of optimism about Drake May and the way he's worked on his footwork and the early things he's done to try to get up to speed as fast as possible and play at some point.
Yeah.
And Joe Milton is a physical freak. And then you have Bailey Zappe, not a physical freak.
Mm-hmm.
Not the veteran they paid $8 million to, whatever.
No.
Not the third pick in the draft. Like, what is it you'd say I do here? I don't really fit in here.
Not
and
much.
You have a coach who basically said they want to pare it down to three quarterbacks by August. So you're kind of wasting everybody's time. And it's not like I don't think you're going to sucker anybody into suddenly saying, hey, I'll trade you something for Bailey Zappe.
No, not going to happen. No, Bailey Zappi's best bet was sort of what happened last year. You know, you're on the roster with just Mac Jones.
Yeah,
the coaching staff sours so much on Mac Jones that you kind of by default get time.
And another guy who's not physically all that impressive.
Right.
Like, you can compete. You don't stand out. Bailey Zappe stands out on the field for all the wrong reasons. Like, he doesn't, he's not as big as these guys. He doesn't have the arm these guys have. But the side of that is Drake May continues to give me flashes of things that I like. Now,
what kind of chances do you give me for week one starting?
Chances of week one starting, I'm going to say like 10%.
All right. It's early, but that's better than zero. All right.
But the line I'm still not sold on. I don't know who the left tackle is going to be. We did see some reps today of Mike Onwenu bumping back into guard and Caden Wallace, the rookie tackle, playing right tackle.
All right.
So they're tinkering there. The news of the day, thanks to me, because that's what people do in this business now. And so
news
I'm going to play the is that Ramondre Stevenson feels like he's close to a contract extension.
Okay.
I asked him, how do you feel about it? I feel like we're close. And I asked him, what'd you think of the Saquon Barkley deal? I think that looked great with a big smile. So,
but now, it's a two-part question here before we let you go. Is Ramondre Stevenson is the centerpiece of the offense right now?
Absolutely.
Right?
No questions asked. No doubt.
Even with that said, and you know me, I figure sign good players and let it all figure itself out. Should you give a big raise to a running back?
I don't know. It depends where the numbers come in at.
Okay.
To me, he can't argue that he's Saquon Barkley. He's had one good year.
Should his contract, should he be a top five paid running back?
No, God, no.
Okay. God. I agree with that because I like him, but I'm also of the draft a running back. In fact, draft a running back wherever you want. If you love one, go ahead and take him in the first round, get 5 years out of that guy and then get the next one. That's how you should do it.
But if you go to him early and both sides are kind of working together and you do need him to be the centerpiece of the offense this year, I think you're paying some for this year, too.
Yeah.
You're
going
to beat the hell out of him this year. So it's probably sort of the right thing to do to give him a little extra money and not just kick him to the curb after he gets beat up behind this line and all that. So I think that's interesting. Matthew Judon was out there. He clearly still wants a new contract. He's on the wrong side of 30 for that new contract.
Right.
He thinks he is this 15-sack guy, but a 15-sack guy that 32, you're not getting your, like, $100 million deal.
No.
If you were coming off, you know, like, two good seasons and you were 24, you'd be looking for $100 million, 20-something million dollars a year.
Right.
To be looking for 20-something million dollars a year at 32 coming off a torn bicep, that's not reality. So they definitely have some contract things to work through. They did not have full attendance. No Godchaw. No,
I read somewhere they did have full attendance.
Because Mayo said they were going to, and then I kept turning to Giardi. I'm like, where's Uche? And he's like, he's not out here. Where's Gotcha? Where's Jonathan Jones? He's like, he's not out here.
Missing a lot of players.
Just because Mayo says they're going to be out there.
Yeah.
Now, they also, some of the guys might have been there but not participating in practice before eyes.
Right.
We've had a bunch of those. But they definitely have some guys that want to continue to take their money, which has been their trend this offseason, signing these guys, and Stevenson seems like he's next in line.
It is a draft and develop situation. As bad as Belichick was at drafting, they
suddenly
want to sign all their guys.
What are you doing?
I don't know. Meanwhile, Bill's just out there going to Croatia. He's at game two of the finals. He's just having a great offseason.
He loves him some Brad Stevens or at least Brad Stevens box or whatever up there.
They have a nice time. All right, Hart, thanks so much for the time tonight, sir. We'll talk to you. I'm not sure when.
Get a full show? So I did like a one-hour show. Now I've done a two-hour show.
True.
When's my three-hour show?
I think you got to talk to the Red Sox about this. They seem to play a lot of games.
I don't know. You're trying to skip out on me. Some show coming up, you said.
That's true. I got some big plans coming up. Yeah, both you guys. I got
Steve's
big plans coming up.
And Andy show.
It's possible, so you're going to want to stay tuned for that. But Hart's going to tag out.
Just trivia. We're doing 4 hours of trivia.
Oh, that'd be a good show.
Quiz with Stiz.
That's not bad.
Or just me answering.
That's a good one. Fitzy's going to jump aboard. Hart, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you, sir. And we'll get to your phone calls as well. Get back to Caitlin Clark and the Celtics up 2-0 in the finals. It's the Rich Keefe Show here on WEEI.
If you missed any of our Patriots Monday and Friday interviews, go back and listen on the podcast anytime. Just subscribe to the Rich Keefe Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Now, more of the Rich Keefe Show
on WEEI.
Back here on the Rich Keefe Show with Andy Hart, WEEI. Final few minutes for Andy Hart, and then Fitzy's going to jump in as we take you up until 10 o'clock on this full Tang Monday night right after Game 2 of the NBA Finals. We'll have much more on the Celtics and Caitlin Clark being left off Team USA, but it was also a very busy time all of a sudden, Hart. Minicamp underway for the New England Patriots. You were down there. The Gerard Mayo era has begun. What jumped out to you from today?
I'm trying to stay positive.
Okay.
It's not the same positive with the Boston Celtics where you're like, wow, this team's so deep and so talented and it might be a dynasty.
No, a little bit more grading on a curve.
It's more of a forced positivity for me.
Yep.
You know, I've started to really feel bad for Bailey Zappe. He is the oddest of odd man out.
So that's something that maybe people have missed. So like when they first were doing the other practice sessions that they were doing, he was getting the second reps, right?
Yeah.
And now it goes today. Jacoby Brissett, Drake May.
It's Brissett and May. Today they were doing a 2-minute drill. So Brissett went, May went. Zappe came in, threw one pass.
All right.
To Kyle Duggar, who returned it for a touchdown.
Defensive player.
Yep. And he was immediately removed, and Joe Milton took over.
Oh
and
no!
He got that one rep. Then there was another throw later. It was Tim Tebow-esque. I think Bailey Zappe has just sort of resigned himself to the reality of the situation.
He put on a brave face. He was saying all the right things. He was saying competition. He was told. Oh, you don't think so?
I was told I'm competing for the job.
Yeah, okay.
I thought that was a very clear.
Okay.
He doesn't really believe it. I was told. Yeah. I've been told I'm competing for the job.
Well, it's sort of a double whammy if you're Bailey Zappe, because if you're putting his shoes for a second, they sign a veteran quarterback who has started more games than you, and they pay him more money than you, and they take a kid at number 3 overall. So you don't have to beat one of them out in reality. You have to beat both of them out, and it's just, I didn't think it was going to happen. And now with Joe Milton also being added to the team, Bailey Zappe could be the backup, but he also could be cut. He might just not even be on the roster.
I mean, Alex Van Pelt has said Jacoby Brissett is the starter.
Yep.
He has also expressed a lot of optimism about Drake May and the way he's worked on his footwork and the early things he's done to try to get up to speed as fast as possible and play at some point.
Yeah.
And Joe Milton is a physical freak. And then you have Bailey Zappe, not a physical freak.
Mm-hmm.
Not the veteran they paid $8 million to, whatever.
No.
Not the third pick in the draft. Like, what is it you'd say I do here? I don't really fit in here.
Not
and
much.
You have a coach who basically said they want to pare it down to 3 quarterbacks by August. So you're kind of wasting everybody's time. And it's not like, I don't think you're going to sucker anybody into suddenly saying, hey, I'll trade you something for Bailey Zappe.
No, not going to happen. No, Bailey Zappi's best bet was sort of what happened last year. You know, you're on the roster with just Mac Jones.
Yeah,
the coaching staff sours so much on Mac Jones that you kind of by default get time.
And another guy who's not physically all that impressive.
Right.
Like, you can compete. You don't stand out. Bailey Zappe stands out on the field for all the wrong reasons. Like, he's not as big as these guys. He doesn't have the arm these guys have. But other side of that is Drake May continues to give me flashes of things that I like. Now,
what kind of chances do you give me for week one starting?
Chances of week one starting, I'm going to say like 10%.
It's early, but that's better than zero. All right.
But the line, I'm still not sold on. I don't know who the left tackle is going to be. We did see some reps today of Mike Onwenu bumping back into guard and Caden Wallace, the rookie tackle, playing right tackle.
All right.
So they're tinkering there. The news of the day, thanks to me, because that's what people do in this business now. And so
newsbreaker.
is that Ramondre Stevenson feels like he's close to a contract extension.
Okay.
I asked him, how do you feel about it? I feel like we're close. And I asked him, what'd you think of the Saquon Barkley deal? I think that looked great. Yeah. With a big smile. So
but now, it's a two-part question here before we let you go. Is Ramondre Stevenson is the centerpiece of the offense right now?
Absolutely.
Right?
No questions asked. No doubt.
Even with that said, and you know me, I figure sign good players and let it all figure itself out. Should you give a big raise to a running back?
I don't know. It depends where the numbers come in at.
Okay.
To me, he can't argue that he's Saquon Barkley. He's had one good year.
Should he be a top five paid running back?
No, God, no.
Okay. God. I agree with that because I like him, but I'm also of the draft a running back. In fact, draft a running back wherever you want. If you love one, go ahead and take him in the first round, get 5 years out of that guy, and then get the next one. That's how you should do it.
But if you go to him early and both sides are kind of working together and you do need him to be the centerpiece of the offense this year, I think you're paying some for this year, too.
Yeah.
You're
going to
beat the hell out of him this year.
Yeah.
So it's probably sort of the right thing to do to give him a little extra money and not just kick him to the curb after he gets beat up behind this line and all that. So I think that's interesting. Matthew Judon was out there. He clearly still wants a new contract. He's on the wrong side of 30 for that new contract. He is this 15-sack guy, but a 15-sack guy that 32, you're not getting your, like, $100 million deal.
No.
If you were coming off, you know, like, two good seasons and you were 24, you'd be looking for $100 million, 20-something million dollars a year.
Right.
To be looking for 20-something million dollars a year at 32 coming off a torn bicep, that's not reality. So they definitely have some contract things to work through. They did not have full attendance. No Godchaw. No,
I read somewhere they did have full attendance.
Because Mayo said they were going to, and then I kept turning to Giardi. I'm like, where's Uche? And he's like, he's not out here. Where's Gotcha? Where's Jonathan Jones? He's like, he's not out here.
Missing a lot of players.
Just because Mayo says they're going to be out there. Yeah. Now, they also, some of the guys might have been there but not participating in practice before eyes.
Right.
We've had a bunch of those. But they definitely have some guys that want to continue to take their money, which has been their trend this offseason, signing these guys, and Stevenson seems like he's next in line.
It is a draft and develop situation. As bad as Belichick was at drafting, they
suddenly
want to sign all their guys.
What are we doing?
I don't know. Meanwhile, Bill's just out there going to Croatia. He's at game two of the finals. He's just having a great offseason.
He loves him some Brad Stevens or Brad Stevens box or whatever up there.
They have a nice time. All right, Hart, thanks so much for the time tonight, sir. We'll talk to you. I'm not sure when.
Get a full show? So I did like a one-hour show. Now I've done a two-hour show. True. When's my three-hour show?
I think you got to talk to the Red Sox about this. They seem to play a lot of games.
I don't know. You're trying to skip out on me some show coming up.
Ooh,
you said
that's true. I got some big plans coming
Sandy,
up.
Us.
Yeah, both you guys. I got big plans coming up.
Steve's and Andy show.
It's possible, so you're going to want to stay tuned for that. But Hart's going to tag out.
Just trivia. We're doing 4 hours of trivia.
Oh, that'd be a good show.
Quiz with Stiz.
That's not bad.
Just me answering.
That's a good one. Fitzy's going to jump aboard. Hart, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you, sir. And we'll get to your phone calls as well. Get back to Caitlin Clark and the Celtics up 2-0 in the finals. It's the Rich Keefe Show here on WEEI.